around him, the library was sleeping in the hot, still afternoon. Shafts of sunlight hung in the air like dusty curtains, and a clock ticked somewhere in the distance, a ponderous sound that seemed to slow down time. Small footsteps crept along the floorboards above. That was probably his sister, Duck, investigating upstairs. But no one else was around. Only Mephistopheles, the college cat, a sinewy black shadow with claws as sharp as pins, was sunbathing on a strip of carpet near the window, and he only cared about one thing, himself. As far as Blake could tell, he was entirely alone, apart, that is, from whatever was lurking on the shelf. Slowly, cautiously, he ran his fingers again along the books. "Blake," his mother hissed. Her face had appeared from the office doorway. She was checking up on him, as usual, just when he was on the point of disobeying her. Paula Richards, the librarian, stood behind her, smiling amiably. "What did I tell you?" his mother scolded him. "You're not to touch the books. They're fragile, rare, and in some cases extremely valuable. Now pick up that book carefully and go find your sister. I won't be much longer." Blake looked down, surprised. There, in front of him, face down on the floor, was an unremarkable brown leather volume he hadn't noticed before. It seemed to be waiting for him to turn it over. His mother apologized to the librarian. "I'm sorry, Mrs. Richards, but Blake's not what you'd call a natural reader." "Oh, I wouldn't say that, Dr. Winters," said Paula Richards happily. "I sometimes knock the books off the shelves myself." She winked at Blake and then pulled the door shut behind them, so he couldn't overhear the rest of their discussion. Blake liked Mrs. Richards. She was a boisterous woman who loved books and even more loved talking about them. Her thick glasses clattered against the desk whenever she took them off, and through them Blake could see the words on the pages she showed him swimming back and forth like legs in a pool. Some letters bulged and curved more than others, but what fascinated him even more were the little indentations in the paper, like footprints in snow. They reminded him of polar expeditions. Mrs. Richards made books seem magical, almost fun, whereas his mother turned them into work. She used them to test his reading comprehension and often quizzed him about his results at school. He'd not done very well last year, it's true, but she wouldn't believe him when he said it was not from lack of trying. Things just didn't make sense anymore. It was as if the words started disintegrating the moment he looked at them. One moment they'd be sitting in a straight row like birds on a wire, the next they'd take off like a flight of startled sparrows. He couldn't pay attention. It was hoped that a short break in Oxford, tutored by his mother, would give him a renewed focus. "A fresh perspective," his homeroom teacher had said, as though the phrase encapsulated everything. But his mother had simply passed him on to other college officials who were also busy, and so he spent most of his time working on his own in the library or looking after his little sister. His mother was researching a new book and didn't have time to be disturbed. Blake bent down to pick up the volume that had fallen to the floor, but then stopped. A ripple of anxiety passed through him. Was this the book that had attacked his finger? "But that's impossible," he thought. "Books don't do that." Besides, the cover of this book was chipped and cracked, scabbed like an old leather glove. It looked perfectly harmless. He shook his head. He was just being silly.